Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
No Vols action this Saturday, but plenty to discuss with Austin Price of VolQuest.com as we get the VolQuest report twice a week here on the show. Austin Price joins us today from Knoxville. Austin, what's up, man? How are you?
Extremely disappointed, Jonathan. Extremely disappointed in myself. I've been on doing this show for 2 years with you guys,
yeah.
And every week you say David Reed is the chairman of the board, and I'm always like, what's he talking about? And it just dawned on me today what that actually means. And so I'm just kicking myself that it took me this long.
We're so creative on the show, Austin. It's hard to keep up with.
Yep.
As you roll your eyes. You can follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Priceless. The bye week. Did it act, look, coaches will always say in any level that the bye week always comes at a good time. But for the Vols, did it actually come at a good time this year? Can it actually be argued that it came at a bad time after showing some life this past Saturday in Athens?
Well, that was what I kind of argued this week on our S&P stock report on VolQuest with Jesse Simonton and myself. I thought that maybe, you know, it did come at a bad time because I thought maybe you needed to get right back up on the saddle and continue to work. But, with Tennessee, looking to try to get Riley Locklear back, he had the meniscus surgery, could be back within 10 to 15 days if it's the former, and he can get back in 10 days, and maybe he's back for Auburn. That would be big for Jeremy Pruitt coming just from a depth standpoint, because right now I think Brian Garvey's your number two center behind Ryan Johnson. So, maybe it did come at the right time just to kind of heal up the nicks and bruises. And I think Jarrett Garantano could use the 2 weeks rest. I mean, he was out there with a RoboCop type shoulder brace out there at Georgia, and Trey Smith been banged up a little bit with a knee. So, I guess in retrospect, probably needed the couple of weeks to heal up and get ready for the stretch run. 7 games left, starting with two pretty tough ones against 2 teams from the state of Alabama.
Yep, and, another player to throw in that discussion, I think, is Trey Smith. He got hurt against West Virginia, barely doing anything in fall camp, and then gets hurt. How limited has he been since West Virginia's game? And if he can return to more of what he was last season, of course that makes half of the line better, but that also makes the whole offense better.
It does, and he's been banged up. I mean, his knee's been – it's not been severely bothering him, but it's been bothering him enough to where I think it's affected his play some. So I think if he can, get healed up a little bit and, become more of his old self. And more than anything, though, I think Trey, Trey is just not as comfortable out at tackle as he is at guard. And I think, he didn't play it a ton last year. He played guard most of the year. He played tackle those last couple of games. And then, of course, he had to set out all of spring. And he's still becoming accustomed to playing tackle at the college level. I mean, he played it in high school, but it's different in college. I mean, you're out on an island. It's just you're more vulnerable out there on the edge than you are at guard. And so I think he's, because he's been – a little bit nicked up, a little bit banged up, and because, you are a little more vulnerable out there, he's not been at his best. But you expect him to rebound. I mean, that's the kind of competitor he is. And I do think if they moved him back inside, though, I think he would have a quicker path to success just because I think he is so much more comfortable at guard than he is at tackle.
Austin Price with us on the Midday 180. Austin, does Jeremy Pruitt have to go into the bye week and get with Tyson Helton and figure out ways to get Ty Chandler the ball more than what they have to begin the season?
Yes, I do think they do. I think they've got to figure out a way to get him more involved. He had 9 touches against Georgia. He's got to get more than 9 touches going forward. Jeremy Pruitt was quick to kind of throw cold water on Ty yesterday when asked about him in his media session and talked about, sure he had, they had 3 explosive plays as a team. Ty had 2, but, Ty had also about 3 other plays that he got tackled by the first defender, and if he had made the man miss, he would have had more explosive plays. I think that's just kind of Jeremy Pruitt's coaching style. He's never going to, it didn't matter if he had an undefeated team with a Heisman Trophy contender. He's always going to, you know, kind of douse him with cold water a little bit. He's never going to love him up and tell him, you know, yeah, you're the man. You know, he's always going to say, yeah, you do really well here, but you can really improve here. You know, he's always going to have those teaching moments. And so, you know, I think they've got to find a way to get Ty Chandler the ball. But he's their only guy that has the get up and go. He's the only guy that puts stress and strain on the defense. And so Jeremy Pruitt knows that. There's no mistake that the head coach knows that. The offense knows that. So I'd be shocked if a guy like Ty Chandler does not touch it between 15 and 20 times in the Plains next weekend.
Tennessee's second best running back so far has been Jeremy Banks. How much are his fumbling issues holding coaches back from giving him a heavier workload?
Oh, I think it's holding him back a ton. I mean, at some point, you know, they're going to, you know, just scrap giving him the ball altogether because, I mean, you can't, you know, they put him in there and he fumbled late with the team down 3 scores at Georgia. You know, Georgia ended up tacking on another touchdown late. That ultimately didn't decide the football game, but you can't put him in there if it's a close game and have that happen. So, I mean, like right now, I don't think he gets meaningful carries in the fourth quarter until he can prove that he can hold on to the football. And I think that means proving that you can hold on to it in practice, proving you can hold on to it in mop-up duty in a game against Auburn or Alabama or South Carolina the next few weeks. So I think Jeremy Banks is going to have to prove to Jeremy Pruitt that he can hold on to it over the course of the next month. He's going to get some significant run late in the year.
What growth potential is there in the passing game?
You know, I don't know if there's a ton of growth that can happen unless they, you know, go to a guy like Jordan Murphy who can really stretch the field. All the, you know, the receivers they have are kind of the same guy. Palmer, a little bit more of a burner than Callaway or Jennings. You know, those guys are kind of the same guy as far as body build, same type of receiver. Those guys are struggling to get separation. They're good, solid players. But, you know, Tennessee needs a true burner. I think that's Jordan Murphy. But, you know, as Jeremy Pruitt pointed out, Murphy's struggling to do the little things, whether that's know the playbook, know your blocking assignment in the run game, doing the little things that you have to do. You can't just go out there and, you know, run a go route all the time. You have to, you know, do the little things that all receivers are asked to do, whether you're, you know, Juwan Jennings or, you know, the fifth string walk on. So, Tennessee needs Jordan Murphy, I think, to really step up and do all those little things and earn that playing time because he's the one guy that can stretch the field and open things up in the middle of the field for Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway and really, I think, allow the growth of the passing game for the rest of the year.
You can follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Priceless as we dive into some recruiting discussion here for the second segment of our visit. In late July, Austin, I wonder how much Pruitt and his staff felt about a player or two in a certain way, and then now are maybe thinking, you know what, we need more at this position than what we thought a month or two ago. How much is that recruiting board changing in Knoxville?
Well, I think it's changing in certain ways. I think that, like at wide receiver, they know that right now they need a guy that's a real speed guy. They need a burner. You know, and whether that's a guy like Javonte Payton, who's currently committed to Ole Miss, who, you know, is from the mid-state, who had to go the junior college route, was once committed to Tennessee a long, long time ago, or Chaffrey Brown, or Jalen Ellis, who's currently committed to Baylor out of Round Rock, Texas. All three of those guys are guys that can run. And all three of those guys are extremely high on Tennessee's board, I think, with Payton probably being at the top. And so, I think different positions are, you know, changing compared to where they were a few months ago, just based off the fact that Tennessee's now 5 games into the season, Jonathan. They are able to evaluate, okay, you know, we need more speed at receiver, or we need more size at the defensive line spot, or we need this, or we need that. And so, yeah, I mean, there are position changes as far as the recruiting board. There's no doubt about it. And, the way I look at it, as one person told me this week, you know, if we could take 50 kids, we'd take 50 kids. But, you know, Tennessee can't take 50 kids. And so they have to be very selective with who they take. They've only got a handful of spots left. And so they're going to have to be really, really creative with, how they work the numbers. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of times I've always said, you know, the numbers work themselves out. Don't worry about it when fans ask. This year, I'm going to be really interested to see, more so than ever before, how this thing works itself out, because Tennessee needs every one of these, and they need to hit on almost every one of these, because, you know, to get this thing turned around, they're going to have to land several of these really good players, because right now Tennessee can ill afford to take guys that can't help them, because that's what's got them in this current situation they're currently in.
You've covered recruiting for many years, and you certainly know good recruiters across the country and different staffs that have been through there in Knoxville. How would you rate Pruitt's staff so far based on the expectations that you had personally, or what you had heard about whenever they were all hired and put together? Is his staff carrying the weight that you thought they would?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Brian Niedermeyer, the tight ends coach, you know, in his first year as an on-the-field assistant, has been dynamite. I mean, recruits just gravitate towards him. He knows how to balance, you know, the football talk versus the non-football relationship building, and he's a ball of energy. He's got a great personality. I tell you who's quietly, I think, a really, really, really good recruiter is Charles Kelly. He's an older veteran coach on the staff, but when you talk to prospects, and, you know, he's been heavily involved in, you know, Anthony Harris, the tight ends that are committed, Jackson Lowe and Sean Brown, Jalen McCullough. I mean, he's quietly had a nice impact on this class. You wouldn't think that, but, I mean, he has done a really nice job. And so, and then Jeremy Pruitt also is, you know, continued to lay the groundwork, and, you know, he's out and about today. You know, today he is out seeing Clavaris Crouch, five-star running back, linebacker, seeing Tennessee commitment Tyus Fields over in the Charlotte area, then going up to Huntington, West Virginia to see Darnell Wright practice this afternoon, and then swinging back down to the Atlanta area to watch Grayson High School play tonight as they, you know, have a trio of players Tennessee is recruiting, and linebacker Owen Popoe, Tennessee commitment Wanye Morris, and then cornerback target and Texas commitment Kenyatta Watson. So Jeremy Pruitt, very active today, and then Tennessee coaches will be out and about tomorrow, and the state of Georgia, I think the state of Tennessee, and the state of Louisiana.
I'm glad you mentioned Darnell Wright, the five-star out of Virginia, because it seems like they've gained have they gained momentum with him? And paired with Wanye Morris, how big of an addition would those two be to this line?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's only 4 hours, you know, from Huntington, West Virginia to Knoxville. So, you know, it's not a bad drive, not too far from home. So, honestly, I think Tennessee's in a good spot for Darnell. Obviously, they're going to have to withstand the fact that a lot of these schools are going to go, yeah, look, now Tennessee, they've got some great coaches, but by the time they're winning, you'll be out of there. You know, and that's going to be the pitch that Alabama throws to him, that Ohio State throws to him, that a lot of these programs, you know, Penn State. He was at Penn State last weekend for the Ohio State-Penn State game. Georgia's trying to get him down for a visit there. Clemson's trying to get him to come down for a visit there. Also Miami. You know, but he's running out of time, and honestly, I think he's growing tired of the process. So, you know, I think this ultimately is going to come down to Tennessee and Alabama. And he's got a great relationship with Brian Niedermeyer, who, you know, while Will Friend would be his position coach, Niedermeyer has kind of been the one that's really kind of taken the bull by the horns in this recruitment. And, you know, Niedermeyer and Darnell are really tight. And so I think Tennessee has always had traction there, but they've just continued to, you know, steadily pick up the traction over the last month or two.
Ask about a running back out of Memphis from Lausanne, Eric Gray. He's committed to Michigan, and word is Tennessee has changed their opinion on him a bit. Are they pursuing him harder than they were previously?
Yes, very much so. I think speed, that's one of those positions where, you know, I think that they've kind of reevaluated what they need at that spot. And, you know, they like what they have out of Jeremy Banks. He's just a freshman. I think Princeton Fant has shown them an ability to be a bigger back that can be serviceable if they want to go the bigger back route. So, you know, they can still go another and take another back. They will go with speed. And I think Eric Gray makes a lot of sense. He's just a thrill a minute when they put the ball in his hands at Lausanne. And I think that when you're looking at this offense that's void of playmakers outside of Ty Chandler, Eric Gray makes the most sense in the world. He really does. And, you know, Ole Miss is also going to be a factor for him. I'll just be shocked if he ends up at Michigan. I really will. I mean, you know, maybe I'll be wrong in the end, but, you know, I see him staying closer to home. And Tennessee has made a big impression on him. He was here officially for the Florida game. And Jeremy Pruitt has been very active in his recruitment the last month or so.
Jamie Robinson from Leesburg, Georgia, safety who has a legitimate offer from Bama, another offer from Georgia. Is Tennessee in the running?
Yeah, they are. And credit to former high school assistant from that area, Shelton Felton, who was at Chattanooga and is now as a quality control coach here at Tennessee, for kind of getting Tennessee's foot in the door. And Jamie Robinson was here for that Florida game. Was kind of blown away by the atmosphere, even though the game ended up not being very much on the field. And Tennessee coaches were by there to see him earlier this week. He's hoping to get back up here sometime later this fall. And I think Tennessee will be a factor there. Now, will they get him? We'll see. But they've at least entered the race. They were not in the race 6 weeks ago.
Finally, you mentioned Quavarius Crouch. What's the latest on the defensive lineman from Charlotte?
Well, with Crouch, I mean, you know, does he want to play linebacker? Does he want to play running back? And, you know, I continue to think that Tennessee's lost a little bit of traction there. You know, I think, you know, winning is big for him. He was part of a program rebuild over there at Harding, you know, a program that had never won a state title and really had not been very good. And they won their first ever state title last year. And, you know, does he want to go through that whole rebuild again here? You know, I think he would like to see, he would love to have seen Tennessee show some real progress. And maybe they, you know, go on some magical run the back part of the year. But that doesn't seem likely. So, I mean, like, you know, Clemson's a team that just kind of seems normal. His brother plays at NC State. They've obviously been really hot with North Carolina kids this year with Dave Dorn in recruiting. So I don't know. I think Tennessee was much more of a factor there 4 or 5 months ago than they are now. I mean, it's not like Tennessee's out of the race, but, you know, I think Tennessee was standing in that one or two spot, and it doesn't seem like they're in that one or two position at the moment.
I lied. One more. I know official visit weekends are gold, and you want to be strategic with those visits, and programs always want the recruit to leave feeling like they saw something special. Who are among the upcoming visitors that will be extremely important for this Vols recruiting class? Because I know Florida's game was massive in Knoxville. What's upcoming for Tennessee?
Well, Tennessee may try to get Jalen Ellis in here, who's the Baylor commitment for the Alabama game. That would make some sense. Maurice Hampton has been flirting with Tennessee to visit for the Alabama game. He flirted with him for the Florida game. He flirted with him for unofficial visits for 9 months since Jimmy Pruitt got here. He's never showed. So I'll have to believe it to see it, or see it to believe it, however you want to say it. But point being, Tennessee does not like to use a lot of official visits during the season. You'll more likely see those come December after the season ends and then into January when a lot of those official visitors will take place.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com, the website. A lot of coverage up there with the bye week. I know you're kind of doing, Austin, what we just did and doing it at VolQuest, where you look back on the first five games and looking ahead to what's to come. And there's a lot of recruiting coverage there as well. You guys do a great job.
I appreciate it, guys.
Austin Price, he joins us twice a week. You can follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless.